Let's pray. God, as we come together this morning and proclaim your word, we ask that you be with us. We ask that you speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen. So I thought about calling this sermon Light Change, kind of a play on words about the changes we go through in life and the light that God shines on our lives. And after all, today is Transfiguration Sunday on the Christian calendar, the event in the life of Jesus when those around him realized that he really was the Son of God, not just some impressive teacher who could occasionally make people think that he could heal the sick and raise people from the dead. You'd think that would be enough, but then comes the Transfiguration. But in a world that is constantly changing and at times is devoid of light, it is sometimes hard to reconcile God's light with this world's darkness, and even the changes in our own lives. Those nagging questions just continue to, well, nag. Questions? Nag. If Jesus could heal a blind man back then, why doesn't he heal my cousin today? If Jesus could raise Lazarus from the dead, could he just do me this one small favor of raising my best friend back to life, who I haven't seen in 15 years, but who I still occasionally have the urge to pick up the phone and call, only to be reminded of grief that I wish some days would just leave me alone? But then I decided to stick with the working title, Waiting on the Mountain. Mainly because these mountain stories in God's story don't make the questions go away. And so on this Transfiguration Sunday that has its roots all the way back in Moses' own encounter with God on the mountain in clouds and light, I believe that God meets us while we wait on the mountain. And yet, life will keep going. Life will keep meeting us with great joy and real grief. And so we go back up on the mountain once again, and we wait. So here's the original mountain God light cloud story from Exodus 24. The Lord said to Moses, "Come up to me on the mountain and wait there. And I will give you the tablets of stone with the law and the commandment, which I have written for their instruction." So Moses set out with his assistant Joshua, and Moses went up into the mountain of God. To the elders he had said, "Wait here for us until we come to you again. For Aaron and Hur are with you. Whoever has a dispute may go to them." Then Moses went up on the mountain, and the cloud covered the mountain. The glory of the Lord settled on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it for 6 days. And on the seventh day, he called to Moses out of the cloud. Now, the appearance of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire on top of the mountain in the sight of the people of Israel. Moses entered the cloud and went up on the mountain. Moses was on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. That story was about waiting on the mountain for God to do something. And then a whole lot of time passed between Moses and Jesus. But today I have good news from God. Between going up on the mountain with Moses, waiting for God to do something, and going up on the mountain with Jesus. The good news is that God did something. So, fast forward in time. Jesus has already preached. Jesus has already healed the sick. We know from looking back, Jesus is the Son of God. But a handful of his very closest followers got to see something for themselves that they passed down to us that hopefully we'll be able to see today. Matthew 17. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it's good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three dwellings here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud a voice said, "This is my Son, the Beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Get up. Do not be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them, "Tell no one about the vision until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." God did something up on the mountain. We're not waiting for God to do something this morning. God did something. God sent Jesus to be with us, to be one of us, to make us whole, or at least to get this process started. No, we are not waiting for God to do something. Today, we are waiting on the mountain for God to do something again. Which is to say, we are waiting for all of this to come together, to somehow finally see this new creation that we have been promised. Jesus up on the mountain ushers in the new creation, which is to say that God is doing something. Who's to say that God is not in the process of healing us today of something that goes even beyond our obvious pain? Who's to say that God is not in the process right now of a greater resurrection than an earthly one that is merely tied to our own experience and understanding? I know physical pain gets old, right? And I know that grief wears you out. And it's actually even okay to amen something like that out loud. Grief wears you out. Amen. But the transfiguration of Jesus on the mountain invites us to look beyond the now to something greater that goes far beyond what we see and feel today. For all the light and mountains and clouds and mystery, all the things going on in this story, one item in this story grabs my attention above all. It is the one that has no mystery whatsoever. Now, back then I think it did. But today there's no mystery. It's the last line where Jesus says, "Don't tell anyone about this." until after I'm raised from the dead. Now, if you're walking down the mountain with Jesus, if you're Peter, James, and John, and the three of you are going, wasn't that cool? Moses, Elijah, clouds, light? And Jesus says, don't tell anybody about this until I'm raised from the dead. What's your first reaction? Wait, what? What did he just, did he just say what? That's the reaction today, or then, but not today. Today, Jesus says, don't tell anyone about this, and it's no big mystery for us, after all is said and done, why Jesus says this. Even his closest followers will not understand these things until everything is said and done, until way after the resurrection of Jesus, when people look back on these stories. You know what they say? After they look back on all these stories through the cross, through the burial, through the resurrection, and the birth of what we're doing even right now, gathered in the name of Jesus. You know what they say? This is from the original Greek, by the way. Oh. That's what that means. It reminds me of all that talk. For now, we see through a glass darkly. And I take comfort in the possibility that during times of pain and grief today, since God seems to be so fond of saying things like, you'll understand later, and this will make sense later, that maybe, just maybe, like the transfiguration of Jesus, we will know more later. I have faith that we will. Amen.